The balding man in the middle makes a doodle on his pad, then fixes me with a cold stare.
Your opinion of the course?
I freeze for a moment. This isn't in the script.
I was bored silly. The course was fine, but it was a bit basic. I was only there because Harriet was pissed off at me for coming in late after putting in a 20-hour shift. Dr. Volman did a good job, but really it was insanely basic, and I didn't learn anything new and wasn't paying much attention.
Why am I saying this? The man in the middle looks at me again. It's like being under a microscope. I feel the back of my neck burst out in a cold, prickly sweat.
When you weren't paying attention, what were you doing? He demands.
Daydreaming, mostly. What's going on? I can't seem to stop myself answering everything they ask, however embarrassing.
I can't sleep in lecture theatres, and you can't read a book when there are only 8 students. I kept an ear open in case he said something interesting, but mostly, did you bear Frederick Ironsides any ill will?
My mouth is moving before I can get control.
Yes, Fred was a fuckwit. He kept asking me stupid questions, was too dumb to learn from his own mistakes, made work for other people to mop up after him, and held a number of opinions too tiresome to list. He shouldn't have been in the course, and I told him to tell Dr. Volman, but he didn't listen. Fred was a waste of airspace, and one of the most powerful bogon emitters in the laundry.
Bogons?
Hypothetical particles of cluelessness. Idiots emit bogons, causing machinery to malfunction in their presence. System administrators absorb bogons, letting the machinery work again. Hacker folklore.
Did you kill Frederick Ironsides?
Not deliberately.
Yes.
You've got my tongue. No. Damn it, he did it himself. Damn fool shorted out the containment wards during a practical, so I hit him with the extinguisher, but only after he was possessed. Self-defense. What kind of spell is this?
No opinions, Robert. Facts only, and just the facts, please. Did you hit Frederick Ironsides with a fire extinguisher because you hated him?
No, because I was scared shitless that the thing in his head was going to kill us all. I don't hate him. He's just a bore, but that isn't a capital offence, usually.
The woman on his right makes a note on her pad. My inquisitor nods. I can feel chains of invisible silver holding my tongue still, chains binding me to the star chamber carpet I stand upon.
Good. Just one more question, then. Of the students on your training course, who least belonged there?
Me.
Before I can bite my tongue, the compulsion forces me to finish the sentence.
I could have been teaching it.
The sea crashes on the shore endlessly, a grey continuum of churning water that meets the sky halfway to infinity. Shingle crunches as I walk along what passes for a beach here, past the decaying graveyard that topples gently down the slope to the waters below. Every year the water claims another foot off the headland. Dunwich is slowly sinking beneath the waves, until finally the church bells will toll with the tide. Seagulls scream and whirl and snap in the air above me like dervishes. I came here on foot to get away from the dormitory and the training units and the debriefing offices built from what used to be 2 rows of ramshackle cottages and a big farmhouse. There are no roads in or out of Dunwich. The Ministry of Defense took over the entire village back in 1940 and redirected the local lanes, erasing it from the map and the collective consciousness of Norfolk as if it never existed. Ramblers are repulsed by the thick hedges that surround us on 2 sides and the cliff that protects its 3rd flank. When the laundry inherited Dunwich from MI5, they added subtler wards. Anyone approaching cross-country will begin to develop a deep sense of unease a mile or so outside the perimeter. As it is, the only way in or out is by boat, and our watery friends will take care of any unwelcome visitors smaller than a nuclear submarine. I need space to think. I've got a lot to think about. The Board of Inquiry found that I was not responsible for the accident. What's more, they approved my transfer to active status, granted my course completion certificate, and blew through the department like a hot desert wind driving stinging sand grains of truth before it. With their silver tongue bindings and executive authority, the old broom swept clean and left everything behind tidy, if a little shaky with all the nasty unwashed linen exposed to the cold-eye view of authority.
I would not have liked to answer to their jackal-headed servitors if I were guilty. But, as Andy pointed out, if being a smart-ass was an offence, the laundry would not exist in the first place. Mary moved back into my room after the night of the party, and I haven't dared tell her to move back out again. So far, she hasn't thrown anything at me, or threatened to slash her wrists in any particular order. 2 months ago, the last time she polled my suicide interrupt cue, I was so pissed off I just said, "Down, not across," using a fingernail to demonstrate. That's when she broke the teapot over my head. I should have taken that as a warning sign. What I've got to think about now is a lot larger. The business with Fred was a real eye-opener. Do I still want to put my name on the active service list? Join the dry cleaners, visit strange countries, meet exotic people, and cast death spells at them? I'm not sure anymore. I thought I was sure, but now I know it amounts to shivering in a rainstorm most of the time, and having to watch people with worms waggling behind their eyes the rest of it. Is this what I want to do with my life? Maybe. And then again, maybe not. There's a large boulder on the shingle ahead of me. Beyond it, a decaying upside-down boat marks the no-go border within our security perimeter. This is as far away as I can get without tripping alarms, drawing down security attention and generally looking stupid in public. I place a hand on the boulder. It's heavily weathered and covered in lichen and barnacles. I sit on it and look back down the beach, back toward Dunwich and the training complex. For a moment, the world looks hideously solid and reliable, almost as if the comforting myths of the 19th century were true, and everything runs on clockwork in an orderly, unitary cosmos. Somewhere down in the village, Dr. Malcolm Denver is undergoing induction briefings, orientation lectures, shoe size measurements, pension adjustments, and being issued with his departmental toothpaste tube and identification dog tags. He's probably still a bit pissed off, the way I was 4 years ago when I was pulled in after someone, they never told me who, caught me systematically dumpster diving through files that were off-limits, but inadequately guarded from network infiltration. It was really just a summer vacation job between finishing my CS degree and starting post-grad work, making ends meet doing contract work for the Department of Transport. I smelt a rat in the woodpile and began to dig, never quite suspecting the full magnitude of the rodent whose tail I had grabbed hold of. I was pissed off at first, but over the following 4 years, spent immersed in the laundry basket, our strange collective ghetto of secret knowledge, I acquired the basics of this calling.